Welcome back to the Sermon on the Mount series in iFaith, and this is Lesson R, Judge Not. We've gone through chapters 5 and 6 of Matthew. Chapter 5 is where Jesus calls us to a high standard of holiness, and yet we're not to comply in order to impress others or as some kind of self-improvement program. And Matthew 6 makes all this very clear. Instead, we're to live in faith. So in chapter 7, the Lord will be warning and urging and instructing us about the pitfalls that could wreck our faith. And the first of these is judgmentalism. But we'll also talk about such things as the broad road, false prophecy, failure to build on the word. We have quite a few reflections still to go in this series. Well, I learned maybe 15 years ago that John 3:16 is no longer the most quoted passage in the New Testament, God so loved the world. It's been overtaken by Matthew 7:1, judge not. And yet, this verse wasn't meant to be used offensively. Jesus isn't saying that we should never think about whether others are saved or not, or never give input to others. Not at all. And it certainly wasn't to be used as some kind of stay away from me, don't judge. Now, I agree, judgmentalism is ugly. And there's a word that's starting to come into English vocabulary. You may have heard it, judgy. And people are so afraid that they'll offend someone by disagreeing with them. I think we need to not be afraid of that. Yes, there's a danger that our attitudes and our words can proceed from a dark place in our own heart, that it can lack love and grace. And that's a very serious thing. But that does not at all mean that we should barely believe the things that we believe and back off if others are offended. Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So I think Jesus gives us this warning because those who are trying to adhere to high standards, those who are trying to follow Jesus, and this really applies to all kinds of religious people, we can easily lapse into judgmentalism. As someone put it, it is the mark of fallen human nature to notice the faults in others and be blind to our own. I've noticed this in my own case over and over. It's so easy for me to criticize another person, but what about my own faults? Why do I go easier on myself than I do on others? And clearly, that's not what the Lord has in mind. Now, just to get a little bit of context here and to clarify, Jesus is not saying we should never make any judgment at all. I mean, John 7, he says we should start making right judgments, just not superficial judgments. This passage, Matthew 7, is referring to hypocritical judgment. And there are at least a dozen different types of judgment in the New Testament, some condemned, some commended. We're certainly asked to think clearly about our own spiritual situation, about the situation of others, and to act and speak in ways that will help in sincerity and encouraging. And also, I'd like to give one other bit of background information. Then we're going to look at what some of the early Christians said about this. And that's the parallel, the kind of connection to this passage we find in Luke 6. You may have noticed that a lot of the material in the Sermon on the Mount is in Luke, but just not normally all in one place. It's kind of all over the place, which shows, I think, that the Sermon on the Mount is a collection of these passages in a compendium. Jesus' words seem to connect to the Lord's Prayer, right, in Matthew 6. But I want us to think about Luke 6. Both of these passages speak about forgiving others. Luke 6, 36, 37. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you shall not be judged. Do not condemn, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. It's about our relationship with other people. What are we holding on to? Our understanding of grace. So it's not that judging is forbidden, but certain kinds are, and it can be quite dangerous. What did the early Christians say? Well, I'm going to give you just a few quotes right now, one from the North African lawyer, Tertullian, and then we'll go from John Chrysostom of Constantinople. Tertullian is in the second century. Chrysostom is a couple of hundred years later. Tertullian, remove the speck, or rather the beam, out of your own eyes so that you may be able to extract the speck from the eyes of others. Amend your own lives first. Right. So he doesn't think that we shouldn't try to mentor others or help them or direct. He says we need to work on ourselves. And his point is not, well, we'll never finish working on ourselves, therefore we can never give input to others. No, he says the purpose is to get our own life in shape so that we can help others. Chrysostom, do you wish to judge? Judge your own sins. No one will accuse you if you condemn yourself. In fact, that's actually a great way to give input to others. Just talk about your own weaknesses. And the more people are listening, the more people will say, oh, I relate. Chrysostom also said, you ask, if someone commits fornication, may I not say that fornication is a bad thing? Can I not correct someone who's behaving wantonly? Because today, and this is even in the church, people are so gentle, so modest, so gracious, so they think, that really we shouldn't point out sin at all. Preachers shouldn't preach about it. Teachers shouldn't teach about it. We shouldn't bring it up in the fellowship. We shouldn't ask the probing questions. Chrysostom thinks that's nonsense. He says, of course, correct him, but not as an enemy. Do not do it as though you were exacting a penalty from an adversary. Rather, correct him as your brother, as a physician providing medicine. That's a great attitude. For Christ did not say, do not correct him who is sinning, but do not judge. That is, do not be bitter in pronouncing correction. I think this is really, that's really very insightful, what Chrysostom is saying here. It's not that we can't correct them, but we're not to be bitter in pronouncing the correction. And thinking of ourselves as physicians, we are something that'll help others. It doesn't help to be negative. I mean, and if people refuse to come for help, then we can't help them. But we have this medicine of immortality, as I think one of the second century writers put it. And what about Matthew 18? So 11 chapters later, Matthew 18 is about discipline in the church. And if your brother sins against you and you bring someone else, if it's not going well, even bring it before your church, probably your house church. Otherwise, imperfections and minor sins we can overlook in love. But Matthew 18 is about sins that are so serious that if people don't repent, there can be a disfellowship. If it's a serious sin in that way, we've got to talk to our brothers or sisters about these kinds of sins, since eternal life is at stake. So, what am I saying? It's not hypocritical to care about others, to desire that they grow spiritually. It is hypocritical, of course, to pretend to care. Well, actually, we're secretly taking pleasure in tearing down others in order to boost our own ego. This understanding of Jesus' words on judging, you'll find also in the Apostle Paul, and I would just direct you to Romans 2. It's the same view. It is not the ever more prevalent modern view that we should never tell others they're wrong or urge them to change. It is not that at all. We are to judge in that sense, but not to judge hypocritically. Well, there's one more verse we'll look at. We could have done it as a separate reflection, but it seems to tie directly into these previous verses. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. We say, pearls, pigs, dogs, how does that tie in? Well, he's just said, don't judge. And he explains the kind of judging he's ruling out. And when you've got the log in your own eye, you need to deal with yourself first. But then he says, don't give dogs what is holy. So while we are to be giving and gentle and not bitter, that doesn't mean that we're not to be alert and smart. It just doesn't make sense to give dogs what is holy. So this connects with the previous passage, although to obey it requires us to engage in one of the acceptable forms of judging allowed by the Bible. Not hypocritical judgment, but this is discernment as to whether people are listening, whether there's any point in sharing. And so this verse, Matthew 7:6, has application in three areas: evangelism, communion, and baptism. And the early church spoke about all three of these things. I'll just cover them very briefly. You know, the gospel of the kingdom is a precious pearl. We don't want to throw our pearls to a dog, though. We have a dog. We love our dog. You could, I guess, put jewelry on her, put a bracelet on her. an anklet, you know, good luck. But the dogs don't really care about it unless it smells good or it squeaks or, you know, maybe they can eat it. But people are different to animals, to other animals. We're different. And the kingdom message is so precious. We want everyone to know. And we were very encouraged a couple days ago. My wife had an idea for an evangelistic event, and it would involve food, and she did all the cooking, and I did all the speaking. And we had 20 guests come. We're very encouraged with that. People who are seeking or might be seeking, or at least we've planted a seed now. Right. But we don't want to be hasty in determining that we're wasting our time with someone if they might actually be interested. But some people may seem interested, but according to Jesus in Matthew 10, verses 11 to 15, they're not really worthy of the time. And that's Jesus' word, not mine. Some simply don't listen. It's just a waste of time. These are hard truths, determining when to back off, when not to speak at all. Cyprian, the North African leader, said, Solomon in Proverbs says, don't say anything in the ears of a foolish man, lest when he hears it, he may mock at your wise word. And also in the Gospel according to Matthew, do not give that which is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. So he connects this with all those proverbs that talk about speech, you know, hearing and listening. In another place, he refers to do not answer a fool according to his folly. And he says, moreover, we're commanded to keep what is holy within our own knowledge and not expose it to be trodden down by swine and dogs. So, and this doesn't mean that the early Christians spat on the street when they saw a non-Christian. These were all swine and dogs. He's simply talking about people who don't have the appetite, the appreciation, the understanding. They're not ready to hear the gospel. Clement of Alexandria said, even now I fear, as it is said, to cast pearls before swine, lest they tread them underfoot and turn and rip us apart. For it's difficult to exhibit the really pure and transparent words respecting the true light to swinish and untrained hearers. Swinish and untrained hearers. Okay. So, and there's even more we could say. I mean, evangelism can cause harm. If someone's not receptive, what's the point in pushing? It can bring unnecessary hostility. It can cause resentment or opposition to the mission. We've got to be wise. And so Matthew 7:6 about dogs and pigs has an application in our outreach. I know I was speaking quickly, but I referred to the Proverbs and I referred to Matthew 10, 11 to 15. A second area would be baptism. I'll just give one quote from Tertullian. Those whose office it is know that baptism is not to be administered rashly. Do not give things, holy things to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. So even there, they're saying you don't just baptize anybody. We have to be discerning. That's important. What about communion? Well, in the Didache, which is probably an early second century writing, let no one eat or drink of your Eucharist, that's the Lord's Supper, except those who have been baptized in the name of the Lord. For concerning this, the Lord has said, do not give that which is holy to the dogs. So they practice what we would call closed communion. If you've not been baptized, you don't take communion. I think you can make arguments, probably decent arguments on either side for open communion or closed, but I lean more towards the closed side. And that was certainly the example of the historic Christian church. Well, finally, it's not ungracious to think analytically about people's receptiveness. Jesus encouraged us actually to do that, and he modeled it himself. And ultimately, it's strategic and it's loving. And that means that we'll give help where help is appreciated. So 7:6 about dogs and pigs doesn't contradict 7:1-5, judge not. We've got to keep holiness in view in regard to communion and baptism and intelligence in view when we're sharing our faith. But although those things are important, I'd like to return once more to that most quoted verse, judge not. Judge not lest you be judged. Yes, if we're judging others, and yet we're hypocritical and we're pretending, we're in for some very harsh judgment ourselves. And that will come at the last day. But it doesn't mean that in love we don't interact with others. That's a gross distortion of this passage, which I hope is now quite clear. Have a terrific day. Thanks for joining.